Well, you children did a great job of reminding us of the Christmas story. And I noticed that amongst all of the people who were up the front, there were quite a few shepherds, although I think some of the shepherds were maybe a little bit shy, and there were quite a few angels. You weren't shy, were you? We could hear you really nicely and clearly. That was great. But what I want to do is I want to just remind you of some of the things that the Bible says about what happened when the angels spoke to the shepherds. Now, what the Bible tells us, and Paul read it for us earlier, that on the night that Jesus was born, there were some shepherds. And they didn't know that Jesus was going to be born. Only really Mary, Joseph, and perhaps the wise men knew that, but nobody else really knew. And the shepherds, they were just up there on the hills, looking after their sheep, the Bible says, just doing what shepherds do. And they had to make sure that the sheep were safe. So maybe they were sitting around a fire. Maybe they were having something to eat. I'm not really sure what they were doing. Maybe they were telling jokes to one another to keep themselves awake at night. Perhaps they were saying, what do you call a sheep with no legs? Anyone know? A cloud. Or maybe they were asking, where do sheep get their wool cut? Do you know? Somebody said it. The barbers, yes, well done. And how do sheep greet one another at Christmas? They say, Merry Christmas to you. Think about it. Maybe that's what they were doing. Well, perhaps not the last one. Maybe they were just chatting to one another, making sure that they kept awake and no wolves or even lions or bears came and got their sheep. But there they were on the mountain, and it was just an ordinary night. But then, suddenly, an angel came. Now, as far as I know, I've never seen an angel. I've seen people dressed up as angels like you, but I've never seen a real angel, as far as I know. But I think if I was to see an angel, especially like this, I'd be just like the shepherds were. I'd be really frightened. And this angel came, and the shepherds were really terrified. So do you know what? Especially maybe Eli and Elijah, you were really good shepherds today. Did you know that? Because you were being a little bit frightened by being out the front, weren't you? And you're a bit scared. Well, that's exactly what the shepherds were doing. They were a bit scared too. So I don't know if it was clever acting or whether it was really true, but you did a great job of showing to us what the shepherds were really like, because they were really quite frightened. Do you get frightened sometimes? Some people get frightened by spiders. Are you frightened by spiders? My wife, she's not here today because she's not very well, but she gets frightened by spiders. And I'm told in no uncertain terms that it's the man's job to deal with spiders. Perhaps it's like that in your house too. And I explained to my wife, well, we live in the United Kingdom. There, spiders are not poisonous here in Britain. They're perfectly safe. They're not going to bite you. Do you think that helps my wife? Not at all. Not at all. She's frightened of spiders, especially when they're running really quickly towards you. She doesn't like that. Or maybe you're frightened of heights. Some people are scared of heights, aren't they? Don't like going up ladders. Somebody had to go up on a ladder and put these lights up and the lights outside. I don't know if you would have done that, whether you'd have got up on a ladder or whether you'd have been frightened. Some people are frightened of going to the dentist. I don't really like dentists very much. Some people are frightened of the dentist. And for some people, it's okay until the drill fires up. And then, oh, people don't like that. Frightened of the dentist. I had a dog once who was frightened of going to the vet. And he was a very clever dog. And he knew that within about 500 yards of getting to the vet, he knew where he was going. We never told him. But he knew the vet lived in a place we never normally went to. And we got within a little 5 minutes. He was really frightened. And we'd have to drag him along on his lead. And he was quite a big dog. And actually, the closer we got, in the end, we had to pick him up and carry him to the vet. And there was all these other people there with little bunny rabbits and little cats who were quite happy. And my big dog was shaking under our chair because he was frightened of the vet. Why do we get frightened about things? Well, I think we get frightened about things because we think they might hurt us. We think spiders might hurt us. They won't, but that's what we think. We think if we fall from a height, we'll get hurt, won't we? We think the dentist, It might hurt what the dentist does. We're afraid of things that might hurt us. And you know what? The shepherds, they were afraid. Well, they weren't really afraid of the angel, I don't think, necessarily. But Luke chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid." And I think what frightened the shepherds was not just the angel, but it was the glory of the Lord. That's what really frightened the angel. And you know what? I think the shepherds thought, this could harm us. Because when we realize just how amazing and good and glorious God is, that can make us afraid. And it made the shepherds afraid. Why were the shepherds afraid? Because of the glory of God. Well, there's lots of stories in the Old Testament that help us to understand that. We can think of as well of Peter, when he met with Jesus. And he knew Jesus really well, and he was Jesus' friend. But there was one time where you might say that Peter started to be afraid of Jesus. And he wanted Jesus to go away because he was frightened. And the reason he wanted Jesus to go away is because he realized that he was a sinner, that he'd done lots of things wrong. And it was when that he realized that Jesus was glorious and that he was the Son of God, he realized, well, he shouldn't come near me because I'm not like that. I've done lots of things that are wrong. I do things wrong all the time. And even when I want to do things that are right, I still do things that are wrong. I can't stop myself. I'm a sinner. And maybe the shepherds felt that, and maybe they thought that God was coming to get them and to punish them for their sin. Well, that's not why God came to the shepherds. So the angels had a message for the shepherds, and the message was, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And that's a brilliant message, isn't it? If you're frightened, it's great to hear someone to say, you don't need to worry. You don't need to be afraid. But you know what? Sometimes we don't believe people. I say to my wife, you don't need to be frightened of the spiders. But she's still frightened. And I know that the dentist always says, don't worry, it's not going to hurt. And I don't believe the dentist. And past experience says I'm right not to believe the dentist. But these angels, they told the truth. They said, you don't need to be afraid. And instead, they said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I've not come to bring bad news. I've come to bring good news. What was their message? It's in verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. That's the most important message that the angels brought. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Is that good news or is that scary news? Well, in some ways, it is quite scary, isn't it? It is quite scary. Just imagine for a moment that you're maybe at home, maybe you're upstairs in your home, or maybe at work if you work in a block of offices or something like that, and the fire alarm goes off. It's maybe a little bit scary, isn't it, if the fire alarm was to go off? But then imagine if someone was to say, "You can't escape. You can't escape from the fire. We need somebody to come and rescue us. We need somebody to come and save us." That's a bit scary, isn't it? It would be less scary, maybe, if somebody said, well, go out through the fire escape and you'll be okay. That's still a little bit scary, but it would be really scary if they said, there's no escape. We need somebody to come and rescue us. That's quite scary, isn't it? And actually, that's the message that the angels bring. The message says, we can't save ourselves, not from a burning building. Now, that's not what the angels were talking about. We can't save ourselves and get to heaven. That's what the angels were talking about. We can't get there on our own because of our sin. We can't save ourselves from our sin. We can't do it. And what the angels are saying is, you can't save yourself. Do you see? That's why you need a saviour. And maybe that's a little bit scary for you. Because lots of us, we want to be in control, don't we? We want to do things our way. We don't like it when things are out of control. We want to be able to do everything. And actually, probably you children at the front, you're probably less like that. It's probably your mums and dads and granny and granddad who are more like that. because I think sometimes when we're little children, we know that we can't do everything for ourselves and we need people to help us. But you know what happens? When you get older, you start to think that you can do everything yourself and you don't need any help. It's really silly. But can I let you into a little secret, children? Sometimes adults are really silly. Did you know that? We keep it quiet. We don't like you to know, really. But sometimes we're really silly. And this is one way in which we're really silly, because sometimes we think we can do everything ourselves. We don't need any help. We can sort it out. But the angels are saying, do you know what? You need saving. Everyone needs saving. You can't save yourself. And often it's a little bit scary to hear that. And sometimes people get really frightened, just like the shepherds did. But listen, it's actually good news. Let's go back to that picture. Here we are in a burning building and we're told you can't save yourself. You need a savior. You need somebody to rescue you. Well, actually, if you know that you can't save yourself, to know that there's someone who can rescue you, that's good news, isn't it? Isn't it good news to find out, do you know what, there's a fireman who's got the breathing apparatus, he's got the ladder, he's able to rescue you. If you're in a burning building, that's really good news. If you know you can't save yourself, that's incredible, brilliant news. And that's the news that the angel was bringing, that there's a savior who can save us from our sins and take us safely into heaven. And he is Christ the Lord, the one who was promised in the Old Testament. So we don't need to be afraid. Some people are afraid of what the Bible says. Some people are afraid of becoming a Christian. But you don't need to be afraid, because God is our savior, a rescuer. Now here's the final thing I want to tell you from this story. That the shepherds then went to see Jesus, didn't they? And we've got to be honest and say it was pretty unimpressive. So what they were told is this savior. He's going to rescue the whole world. What would you expect? Maybe a big, powerful man with millions of people who are following him. Somebody who could fight in battle. Someone who could command an army. Somebody like that. But no, this is who you're going to go and see. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, just like this, lying in a manger. That's not very impressive, is it? That's not very impressive at all. That doesn't sound like somebody who's going to save the world, but that's what the angel said. And sometimes we make the mistake, don't we, of judging from the outside. Do you remember, maybe some of you are too young to remember, but I'm sure the adults will remember. Do you remember when Paul Potts walked onto the stage in Britain's Got Talent? Or Susan Boyle? And they walked onto the stage and we all thought, well, they're not very impressive. They're going to be rubbish at singing. Or whatever they've come to do. They're not going to be able to do. And then he said, I'm going to sing Nessun Dorma. And most of us thought, no chance. And probably lots of people thought, they've put this on for comedy value. So we can all have a good laugh at this poor person who thinks that they can sing like Pavarotti. Unimpressive. Until we saw what they could do. And we quickly changed our tune, didn't we, then? Now, you see, that's what the shepherds did. They went to see, and what they saw really wasn't very impressive. But they were careful not just to go on what they could see, but they were careful to go on what they could hear. So look at verse 15. They said, let's go to Bethlehem to see the thing which the Lord has made known to us. They remembered the message. In verse 17, we're told that they made known the saying which was told them. They remembered the message. And then in verse 20, they said they were praising God for the things that they had heard. Do you see? So the shepherds were very wise. They didn't just think about what they'd seen, but they also thought about what they'd heard. And we need to make sure that we do that as well, when we're thinking about Jesus and when we're thinking about Christianity. Because in some ways, it is very unimpressive. But actually, when you think about what the Bible says, it's incredibly impressive. The claims that are made, about a Savior who has been born, somebody who can take us into heaven, that's incredible, isn't it? the message is so important that we listen to the message and that we remember the message. It's really important. And that's one of the reasons that we like to invite lots of folk to come along at Christmas, so you can hear for yourselves the message. And even, we trust, believe what the message says. But at the same time, it's not just a message. That's really important. It's not just a message. There are lots of people who will tell you all sorts of things. I get phone calls all the time telling me that I could claim thousands of pounds in PPI insurance. Do you get phone calls like that? Well, I've never bought PPI insurance. It isn't true. I can't get any money at all. And they tell me these things, but it's not true. The reality is different from what's claimed. But these shepherds, you see, they listened carefully to the message, and then they saw for themselves. So although I read out to you from verses that said it was important what they heard, those very same verses also tell us it was important what they saw. So verse 15, let us go to Bethlehem and see the thing that the Lord has made known to us. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying. And verse 20, they were praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Do you see? So their experience matched what they'd been told. Here's the wonderful thing about Christmas, and this is what I want to close with. That the angels and the people who've written the Bible and God himself make all these incredible claims about Christmas. They say that Jesus can forgive us for all of our sins. They say that knowing Jesus means that we can be friends with God. They tell us that we can know peace with God. They tell us that we can be forgiven and cleansed. And here's the thing. Even in this room this morning, there are dozens of people who will say to you, I'm happy to say, do you know what? What I've experienced matches what I was told. What I've experienced matches what I've been told. And we're able to say, do you know what? The Bible is true. Because it really is true. Because we know that joy that the shepherds knew of knowing Jesus and of knowing our sins forgiven. We're able to say that he's the Savior of the world. We know that's true because he saved me from my sins. Our experience matches what we've heard. And maybe there are some of you here this morning who have heard the good news, but have never experienced the good news. And what I want to say to you as we finish is very simply this. What you have heard, you can know to be true for yourselves. How does that happen? Well, if you want to be saved, what do you need to do? Well, you need to call for help, don't you? Call on the Savior and ask the Lord God to save you from your sins. Say sorry for the wrong things that you've done and ask him to save you and forgive you. And I really believe, because the Bible says, I really believe that if you ask God to forgive you, and if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll know that joy that the shepherds knew and that joy that many of us here this morning knew. So that's my Christmas message for this morning. Don't let it just be a message that you hear, but let it also be a message that you experience for yourself.